It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn. In the barn. Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Beam.
All right, welcome into the barn, everyone. Here on a Saturday night NHC Championship night, the NHC 17 is in the books, and we have a new champion handicapper for the year, and that's Paul Matisse, who went wire to wire on the final table, got there to the final 10 as the chip leader, quote unquote, and kind of never let up. I mean, and actually, the top three guys. There wasn't a massive disparity between, you know, the top seven. There was about $70 between them. But, you know, the difference between third and seventh was only $18 going into the final table. But one, two, three were the at the start of the final table, ended up being one, two, three at the end. Paul Matisse first, Roger Satina second. That's Roger's second place finish. He did a couple of years ago. Charlie Davis finished in third. We talked to Charlie earlier on the barn a couple of days ago, and I kind of been following his journey because he's somebody I follow on Twitter and have communicated with kind of throughout this whole process. And he had a fantastic tournament. And we're going to re-listen to his comments that when I talked to him. I talked to him right before the start of the tournament a couple of days ago, and he was seventh after day one, fourth after day two, and third at the end, and takes home $125,000 for his efforts. So big performance by him. Dave Gutfreund, the Maven, was fourth going into the final table, and ended up in fifth. Duke Matisse, Paul Matisse's brother, actually closed to get into the fourth spot. And I kind of watched some of the interviews with Paul, the new champion, and a very humble guy, but a confident guy, and just seems like a very genuine, good dude, but just a true horse player. I mean, just seemed like he was having fun. He actually seemed pretty relaxed afterwards for just winning $800,000. He was pretty, you know, laid back and shaking hands and not doing all the fist pumping and screaming and cheering. But it wraps up what was a very exciting weekend here at the NHC. Now, I said it before in a blog post that, you know, I'm never somebody who was that jazzed about the NHC because I don't know a lot of tournament players in my, you know, personal and professional life. They seem to be a little bit of a different breed in terms of people who really focus on them as opposed to the regular handicapping. But I got to meet a ton of people this weekend, and the camaraderie and the, you know, excitement and the friendship and the competitiveness, it was just awesome. This is an event that should and could be covered similar to the World Series of Poker. They just haven't done it yet, and I don't know if it's because of revenue or what. I know they tried it one year, and I was told it wasn't the greatest thing on earth, but I think with, you know, if you had kind of a whole cam where, you know, the people told you what they're playing beforehand, I don't know. It was even just watching from the periphery, it was exciting, and that was without knowing, you know, necessarily who had what horse. And you usually find out about mid-stretch who had what horse because they start screaming and cheering for it. But it's a really cool event, and I will I would definitely love to come back again and just watch it. But it is a grind, a three-day tournament, and this final day, the top 63 players, they started at 9:30 a.m. and they whittled it down to the final table by about 1 o'clock. It's all mandatories in that semifinal round, or no, I'm sorry, it's all electives or whatever, you know, where you play whatever race you want. There's no mandatories, and then the finals are all mandatories. So it's a very today was, you know, I think a lot of people that were playing were obviously thrilled to just be in the final 63. They were guaranteed at least $5,000. And, you know, if they get up to the final table, great. But, you know, it happened real fast this morning. And then this afternoon was a little more drawn out. It was, you know, the final table's about 3 hours or so. And, you know, by the time you're done with, I mean, you've been handicapping now for days on end straight. And it was a grind. You know, a lot of folks were tired. I'm tired right now. We're only an hour after the contest. But as soon as the contest was over, I ran across the street to a Venetian and had a nice dinner over at Buddy V's, Italian joint, and ran back over here to do a special Saturday night edition of the barn. But I wanted to play a couple interviews. One of the big stories this week, even though he didn't end up hitting the money, was Jonathan Kinchin, who was playing for that $2 million bonus. He was the NHC Tour Player of the Year. He was kind of the guy everyone was watching. There was a great moment here on Thursday where the first results that were shown after however many races, he was first and third. And I think everybody was just like, are you kidding me? This guy's winning again. He had a very good first day. But I got a chance to talk with Jonathan for a little bit today and wanted to play that conversation. Even without qualifying for the top 63 in the money, he couldn't have been more gracious. He was, downstairs firing away at Santa Anita for the pick six and, just a real confident but humble guy, and here's what Jonathan had to say this morning. Here with Jonathan Kitchen, the NHC Tour champ for this year. Obviously, a little disappointed not to be playing in the finals today, but tell us how the first couple days of the tournament did go for you.
Yeah, the first day was it was amazing. I couldn't ask for anything better. I hit some, 7-1, a 15-1, and a 4-1. My first three bets on both tickets. That's how when the first leaderboard popped up, I was first and third. So, I felt like I was primed to have a pretty good week. And then yesterday it was just awful. I just fell apart. And so, it is what it is. I had a good time. It was an awesome year. I don't take any of it back. It's just, as horse players, just sometimes you got bad days. And yesterday just happened to be my worst day on the most important day of, of my betting life. But, whatever. It happens.
Any of the guys in your crew qualify for the finals today?
Yeah. No, we have a bunch of, three or four people that I'm excited about watching play today. Directly in my crew, the Matisse brothers, that we're sitting together. So we do a lot of work together. So those guys are doing well. I think Paul's in the top 10, Duke's in the top 30. Dave Gutfreund's a really good friend. He's on the lead right now. So we'll be rooting for him. And then a buddy of mine, Blake Jesse's in the top 50. And also a buddy, Randy Bauer, he pulled off the 63rd spot with that last bet. He had a place horse and got it.
By 20 cents. Too,
yeah. So he had a, Pete Pornatel did a really good story about him. He's had a really pretty interesting year. He was, he had a kid, and he was also diagnosed with cancer. So he's been, he was battling that. So he's healthy now and in the final table. So I'm happy to see that.
Cool. Well, best of luck going forward, and thanks for stopping with us.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, so that was Jonathan Kitchen, and you heard him mention in his group at his table there, Paul Matisse and Duke Matisse, who ended up being the winner and fourth place finisher. And so Nick Tamaro, I know, sat at that table, and so a lot of really, really good tournament players. And like I said, Jonathan just couldn't have been cooler. He had the spotlight on him the entire weekend, and I think he knew that. And, he just stuck to his game plan. And like he said, just had a bad day on the day that he really didn't want to and couldn't have a bad day. So Jonathan was one guy we caught up to. Another guy I talked with was the day two leading point getter on day two who qualified for it. So if you're the leading money guy after the first day, you get a free ticket and entry into the BCBC, which is the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, the big live money event during the Breeders' Cup. And if you're the top money person for just a standalone the second day, same kind of deal. And so John Downey was the guy who won the second day. He only had, I think, $10 after the first day, and then flew up the leaderboard with a $175 day, I think it was. So here was my chat with John before the day got started.
All right, I'm here with John Downey. John, by looking at the scorecard, it looked like the first day was maybe not the greatest day, but yesterday, a huge day, $175 added to your total. What was it like going to sleep after day one, though in day two you had to have a big run?
Well, I think as a longtime horse player, you know that every day is different. And then you could have your worst day and the next day be your best. I had the same thing back in July where I had a fantastic July. And then August through December was horrible. So I know that, there's plenty of ups and downs, as you play. And I think that's what, draws you in is the excitement of it. It's, trying to get back on top is the challenge.
The top 63, not separated by a ton. I mean, there's really only about 40 or 50 bucks between you and the leader right now. What's your strategy for today?
Well, today I just dropped the first one, went for a little bit of a medium price here, but probably just watch a few more races, kind of get some, time on the track and see what's kind of moving along here. So he was maybe a little hotter today and playing and just save a couple bullets for the end. Yesterday I didn't have any bullets left at the end. Sweated out. I liked the five in the last race, but I had nothing to shoot for, so I had to hope and pray that things were coming together for me. So today I'll probably, try to be as patient as I possibly can.
All right. Well, John Downey, 36th as we get set for day three. Thanks a lot, John. Best of luck.
So my thanks to John Downey for talking with us. I tell you, asking for interviews is not the my favorite part of the job, because especially on a thing like a tournament like that was going on this week, I know you know, players are busy. They're trying to stay focused. A lot of them have family and friends that are, you know, kind of chirping around. And I didn't have anybody who turned down an interview request. You know, and I always told them it would be a minute or two, but nobody turned down an interview request. And nobody even looked or seemed mildly annoyed to be doing it. So as somebody who was covering the event, it was greatly appreciated, the openness. And even folks who I didn't interview, you know, on the phone just talking with, just a really, really, really cool bunch of folks that were down here at the NHC, made it a lot of fun. I'm sitting here in my hotel room in Las Vegas, and the sun's setting here on Saturday night, and I'm trying to decide what I want to do, because my room's here is done. After, you know, I got to check out tomorrow, and I thought about maybe staying in Vegas for another week, and then part of me wants to go to Santa Anita tomorrow and see that whole thing. And I mean, I've been there before, but you know, and then start my drive home right after the race is there, or heck, maybe go, you know, scurry over to Los Alamitos for an evening card. But and then, you know, a little part of me wants to just go home, but I still got a few hours to decide what I want to do. We're going to head out to a break. When we come back, more wrap-up of NHC Day 3 here on the Bet America Radio Network. Here's Kayla Straw.
Hello, this is Kayla Straw, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest-growing, legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, back here on the bar on the Bet America Radio Network, and recapping all the action from NHC, the finals today, and Paul Matisse, your new national handicapping champion, and $800,000 richer. There was a real interesting race that happened at Gulfstream Park today. It was a mandatory race on the, believe it was on the grass course, but so Paul Matisse is in the lead, and he's you know, faring pretty well. And I heard him talking about this afterwards. So this is about the fourth or fifth race. It's, you know, we're getting down to the last, you know, the last nitty gritty here, the second half of the final table. And so Paul's on the three horse, who was, I believe, 6-1. I'm pulling up the chart right now. Yeah, Sevens, who was 6.5-1. The horse was named Sevens. And so Paul's on that horse. The second place guy, Mr. Cetera, Roger Satina, I'm sorry, has the four horse, who's 11-1. And so, and nobody's got this six horse, the What Power. So What Power ends up winning. And so, and then the four horse, the second place guy, Satina, I'm going to say his name right, one of these teams, Roger Satina, his horse was second, and then Paul's was third. And so, you know, all of a sudden you hear, uh-oh, you know, Stewart's inquiry, jockey's objection. And they show it, and the three, Paul's horse, had to check quite a bit at the eighth pole. He might have been the best horse without the trouble, but he ended up finishing third. So they DQ the six, which moves him back to third. So it bumps the four up, who Roger Satina had in second, at 11-1. So Roger Satina, instead of getting the 11.40 place price, gets an extra $24, and now is only $10 behind Paul going into the last couple races. As they came for the last final race, Paul Matisse had a 10-point lead now after that that interesting DQ. And Paul even said, he goes, you know, all day I was telling myself, okay, I got a shot, but I'm not, you know, no sure thing. And he said right before that DQ race, he was up about, I think, 20 or 30. He's up about 30 points at that point. He said, I think I might have this now. And then sure enough, that DQ happens. And he was saying, he goes, you know, that would have been my bad beat story to for all bad beat stories. But as it turned out, they went into the final race. Paul had a right over a 10-point lead over Roger Satina. Charlie Davis was another 40 points back. Or 50 points back. So Charlie had to take a swing for it. And he went with the number 8 horse in the final race at Santa Anita, which was the Cal Cup Turf Classic. But Charlie took a swing with a 25-1 shot. Roger Zatina actually took a swing with that same 25-1 shot. So no matter what, when it came out, you know, they don't tell you. They post who has who about 10 seconds into the race. And so once that happened, Charlie knew he had no shot to win, because if his horse did win, Roger was going to obviously go up a little higher. But they would probably both catch Paul Matisse at the top. But as it turned out, it came in second choice, first choice, and nobody in the top 10 had either horse. So the results finished as was, and Paul Matisse was crowned your champion. But I wanted to play some audio of an interview I did with Charlie Davis, who was the third place finisher. This was just about half hour before the first day started, just to talk about his plans in the tournament, that he ended up just taking home a nice six-figure payday.
All right, now, of course, I'm rooting for Bet America qualifiers, but if not one of them, I'm definitely rooting for a fellow Seattleite, Charlie Davis. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, thanks.
Charlie, it's kind of a cool, quiet, positive environment right now. Do you think it changes a little bit once the racing gets going?
Oh, it'll change quickly, especially when we have the first mandatory. It'll start getting nuts. You'll hear a lot of yelling. This is kind of the calm before the storm. It'll go off.
Do you have a strategy for today? Because I know that they're off the turf some places, so it's a little bit of a different kind of day for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. I have two entries, too, so it's tough finding enough plays that I'm confident in. So my price targets have kind of dropped with the quality of the racing today, the shorter fields, and two entries.
Real quick, I know you do a lot of work with HANA, the Horse Players Association North America. How'd you get involved with them? And just real quick, what does HANA do for horse players?
Yeah, so HANA tries to act as an advocate for the horse player, because in this industry, a lot of times they're kind of glossed over despite providing the money for purses and really everything. So what we try and do is give them a voice. And the way I got involved was when I first got into horse racing, I met some people on a message board. I really liked what they had to say about takeout and field size and drugs and other issues that annoyed me, and just went from there.
All right. Well, Charlie, best of luck. We'll come bug you a little bit later and see how you're doing.
Thanks, Jason.
All right.
All right, so that was Charlie Davis, your third-place finisher in the NHC this year. So we're going to head out to another quick little break. When we come back, I spent most of my day three, at least the later part of the afternoon, talking with some fellow former announcer colleagues, Vic Stauffer and Bill Downs. Bill showed up from out of town, and it was great to see him. I hadn't seen him since I think Beulah Park in 2006. I got to meet Bill for a little bit, but it was cool to catch up with him. But I spent probably a good hour or two talking with Vic Stauffer about the tournament experience. He didn't make the top 63, but was very close. But so we'll head out to a quick commercial, and when we come right back, I'll play you my interview with Vic Stauffer from just earlier today, the NHC wrap-up here on the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland-Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, back here in the barn on the Bet America Radio Network, recapping NHC 17. I was talking to Ed DeRosa from BrizNet a little bit today, and I said, you know, it's massively confusing when their hashtag was NHC 17, and it's 2016. Like, the contest is always going to be 1 year ahead of the year since it started in 99, but, you know. That's a small price to pay, I suppose, but something to think about. But I wanted to play a conversation I had today with Vic Stauffer. Vic, we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I've always lauded Vic as a great announcer and a personal friend and stuff. But I thought he had some great insights about being a first-time NHC player. You know, when I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, you know, he talked about how part of the reason he never played in the NHC before was because he was always working at Gulfstream Park. Where he was at for a long time, you know, or Hollywood Park, or as a jockey agent. I got the sense from him that he did pretty well. I mean, he was, you know, I think he finished in the hundreds somewhere. So, you know, the top 20, 25% or so. But he had some real keen insights about, what to do next year if he were to come back. And just I always enjoy talking to Vic. So here's our conversation from earlier today.
Karen LeBlanc.
I thought when I came to NHC that I would be the top guy, announcer not announcing right now. But not so much. I'm second place because I'm joined by our good friend on Bet America Radio Network, Vic Stauffer. Vic, your first NHC, two entries. What'd you learn about this weekend?
I learned that the people that made it to the third day and certainly the final table are brilliant handicappers. Do you remember the movie Rounders?
Yeah, of course.
Where Matt Damon says to his girl, "What do you think, Joe? You think it's just really the five luckiest guys in Las Vegas always make it to the final table of the World Series? It's a skill game, Joe. It's a skill game." And that's exactly what this is. And these guys and these names that you see on these leaderboards are not only great handicappers. I think I'm just as good a handicapper as they are. But what they are is brilliant, experienced tournament players. And that's where I really dropped the ball, because it was my first tournament that I have ever played in this kind of a format. And all it did was inspire me to try to go after them, maybe be lucky enough to sit up on that table. I just wasn't ready. You know, I was kind of like how I think Cam Newton may end up being. You know, first time in the big dance. And you got a bunch of Peyton Mannings sitting up there. And they may not necessarily have the speed or the youngness that Newton does, but they got the moxie and the smarts of how to play in those big games. And that's what I learned, and I'm just counting the days until I get another chance at it.
Yeah, one thing we talked about was you had two entries and not just one, and that's not something you normally do in the tournament world.
Yeah, as it turned out, I mean, and I would guess that it's an advantage to have two entries. Of course it is, because they have value. But at the end of the day, I will tell you this. My two entries both finished somewhere around 120th. Had I only had one entry, I would have finished in the top 63 and made it to Saturday. Now, would I have gotten to the final 10? Hell no, because I wouldn't have been good enough. These guys were better than me, whether I was in it or not. I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to try to still get two entries, but I would think that I would have to rethink how to play them, because I was juggling back and forth, and that juggle ended up in mass mediocrity, where I probably had enough horses and handicapped well enough to be able to get into that final 63 had I just manned up, made a pick, went up, and had to be forced into making a particular play on a particular race. I finagled myself into mediocrity.
One thing, we've been sitting here watching the race, and we saw a couple of pretty nice three-year-olds just now, Smokey Image and Mo Heyman, just a couple minutes after those races. What are your general impressions?
Well, I mean, I think you saw two tremendously talented horses. I think in Mo Heyman you saw a horse that could be the favorite in the Kentucky Derby. And in Smoke Image, I think you saw a horse that could be favored in the Churchill Downs Handicap sprinting as a three-year-old. You know, he's obviously very precocious, and he wears that closed cup blinker, and he's kind of a runoff. To me, he looks like a horse that would run into the quarter pole at Churchill Downs. He is not a Kentucky Derby type horse. Not on the first Saturday in May, not going a mile and a quarter on that racetrack, not being on the engine, and with 150,000 people screaming at him. I mean, he is a very talented horse, but he's also clearly a goofball. Mohamed's a totally different story. He was in front just because nobody else made the lead, but he struck me as a horse that could have sat fifth, fourth, third, whatever, and then he leveled out and ran to the wire. We're talking about apples and oranges here, and the orange is Mohamed, and the apple, who is a very nice horse, is the other one, but the McLaughlin's horse is a totally better beast.
Well, I'll tell you, one person who disagrees with you might be Mrs. Goof on the Roof.
Well, Mrs. Goof on the Roof is very smart, as proven by the fact that she married me.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is clearly the second best handicapping opinion and horse opinion in our family, and that's the way it's going to remain.
All right, Vic, you're the best. Best of luck going forward in the tournament circuit. Maybe we'll see you in the Horse Player World Series or something like that.
I'm going to be around Bet America, I can tell you that.
Oh, perfect.
Because, again, I met more and more people from your guys' association, and every time I hear about anybody that's doing anything with Bet America, they like it, and they want to do more of it, and that's going to be me, too, as we go into 2016. I'm very pro Bet America, and you'll see me on there in the wars.
All right, the man who called what I said my favorite race call still to this day, 2005 American Oaks. Check it out on YouTube. All right, Vic, thanks.
All right, so my thanks to Vic Stauffer and to everyone who talked with us for the Bet America Radio Network this week as we covered the National Handicapping Championships. Congratulations again go out to Paul Matisse, who takes home that $800,000 top prize. Something nice to go home with back to the Ballston Spa, New York. It seems like he's a regular up at Saratoga. I noticed Andy Serling and a lot of the other New York guys were pretty pumped up for Paul. Like I said, listening to him talk afterwards to the guys from DRF, just seems like a really, really good dude, a very, very true horse player. And, you know, his brother finished fourth and picked up, I think fourth was 100,000 or right around there. And so the Matisse family had a very, very nice nice day and week here at the NHC. So we're going to wrap up this NHC 3 recap. We're gonna take a couple days off in the barn because old Jake's got to get himself back home. But we will be back with you most likely Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm guessing. But stay tuned. I'll certainly be blogging from the road as I go back home. But we really appreciate everybody joining us all throughout this week and as we launch this this whole Bet America Radio Network. Remember, if you have questions or comments, email me, barn@betamerica.com. You can always follow me on Twitter at BeamyAwards, B-E-E-M. I know how to spell my last name. BeamyAwards. And Twitter's always a great place to get a hold of me. I met a lot of people from Twitter this weekend. I mean, a ton. And so it's really cool to put names to faces and get to say hi to some folks. And, you know, the social media, we interact with so many people, but we don't actually meet them. It's almost, you know, I'm sure there's corny people that say it's anti-social media. And so I was about to say that joke, but I realized how bad it was. So we're gonna pass on that. But yeah, please do contact us, barn@betamerica.com. If you got a guest you want to hear on the show, we're going to have a slug of great guests in the coming weeks. I got a lot of cool stuff lined up, and look forward to sharing it with all of you guys on the Bet America Radio Network. So for Team Bet America here in Vegas, Merv Huber was here with us, Pete Laverick, John Ford, our CEO, was in town, Jason King. For all of us at Bet America, we wish you a very pleasant good evening from Las Vegas. We'll see you very, very soon. We'll be right back.